You have your Bibles with you. Can you open with me, please, at John chapter 6, the New Testament, the Gospel of John, in the chapter 6. This is a very familiar story, familiar even to the boys and girls, commonly known as the feeding of the 5,000. And this is John's account. Most boys on our Sunday school and our children's meeting will know about the wee boy who gave us lunch to the Saviour, and the Saviour used it mightily. So it's a very familiar story. It's also one of those accounts. It's a story that has been written about by all four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all look at it from different angles, and they have a different focus. And really, we need to read all. We're not going to do it tonight, but to get the true picture and to get the full scene, we read them all. But we'll refer to each one tonight. But we're going to read as a reading from John's account, John chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And we end our reading there at the verse 14. And we'll come now just for a wee quick word, a wee word of prayer. We need the Lord to help in this meeting. He's already been helping. But we need the Lord to help me, especially, because I'm nervous tonight, but I need to say the words that God wants me to say. And you know, you as the listeners, the boys and the girls, the adults, the parents, the Lord needs to help you as well. The Lord needs to teach you from his word and open your heart to his word. So we're just going to come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you tonight for this special meeting. We thank you, Lord, for the Vacation Bible School, and for, Lord, everything that was taught in it. We thank you for each boy and for each girl that you brought in. And we pray, Lord, that you'd do a great thing and a mighty thing in their lives. Lord, we pray now for this meeting. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has already taken part. And we thank you, Lord, for the message that has already been given. We pray, Lord, that you'll help now. We come to the preaching of thy word. We pray, Lord, that you'll stand beside us and, Lord, put the words, as it were, into our mouths. Lord, we pray that none will be seen tonight save Jesus only. Take man out of the picture. And, Lord, we pray that your Son will be glorified and, Lord, his name will be uplifted. Lord, we pray for each one that will hear thy precious word. Open hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll do a miracle in this meeting tonight, for we ask it in thy name's sake. Amen. Over the last few days, number of days actually, Even as I've been thinking about the new season and the children's meeting, and even preparing for this meeting tonight, God burned or impressed a verse on me. And that verse, we're not going to really speak on it tonight, but I want us to keep it in the forefront of our minds as we speak tonight. And that verse may seem strange to some of you, but it has been impressed in my life. And it's at verse 9 in John chapter 6. And it says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? The background to this passage of God's word, well, if you take a look at the first few verses, or first few words in verse 1, it said, "After these things." Well, that tells us immediately to go into the chapter before to see what's happening. It says, "After these things." We're right in the middle, as it were, of the Lord's earthly ministry here. Lives has been changed. The sick has been healed. Miracles have been performed. And even in the previous chapter, if you go to the start of chapter 5, you'll see here that the Lord has healed the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. And you know, whenever the Lord's working, and it's the same today, and whenever the Lord's moving, and here in these chapters and in these verses, and if you go right back, the Lord's going from place to place throughout this land, and he's healing the sick, he's preaching the gospel, and he's teaching them from God's word. And you know, whenever God moves, and whenever the Lord's word has been proclaimed, well, there's always opposition, isn't there? There's always opposition. And if you go on down chapter 5, you'll find, well, after the man has been healed at the pool of Bethesda, you'll find there's opposition coming from the Jews. And God, or the Lord, spends most of the end of chapter 5, right up to the end, preaching to them and teaching them and showing them from God's word. And that brings us, and that's what it means, after these things. So after these things, after talking with the Jews, after being at Bethesda and healing this man, it says Jesus, well, he goes off on a boat over the Sea of Galilee. Now, I was thinking about that. I can't really picture that in my mind. I have never been to the Holy Land. But I know there's many people in this service tonight, and whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus getting in a boat and going over the Sea of Galilee, well, you can actually picture that in your mind, but I can't. Someday I hope to save the money up and be able to go on one of these trips, but it wasn't this time. But you can picture it, and I think that's a great thing. You know, I have got a picture in my mind, but it may not be correct. But it says here that the Lord Jesus has went over the Sea of Galilee. It says he has came in to a desert place. He's came to a desert place. It tells us that he goes up into a mountain. We'll read that. That narrative is in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. Whenever he goes up into the mountain, it tells us that the people have come out of all these cities and all these towns, and they've come out to follow him. It tells us in this chapter that it's because he has healed their diseases. You see, in some respects, there's now a fame around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been healing people. He's been doing a great work in all these towns and all these cities, and now the people want to come and hear him. And whenever the Lord Jesus gets into this mountain and he looks out before him, well, he sees a great multitude. He sees a great multitude. And you know what it says in this chapter, as he looks on them, he has compassion on them. It says that he heals their sick, and he says he speaks unto them the kingdom of God. You'll find that in Luke chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them. that had need of healing. So here, as this multitude of people is in front of the Lord Jesus, he's healing them. Healing them of their diseases, but he's also teaching them of the kingdom, preaching unto them of the kingdom of God. But you know, we have a problem. We have a problem in this chapter. You see, these people, as we've already said, are in a desert place. Now, a desert place, whenever I think of a desert place, I think of a dry place. I think of a barren place. I think of somewhere where there's no life and no food. And that's what this chapter says they're at. They're in a desert place. They're not only in a desert place, but it's getting late. It's now getting late in the day, and the people are hungry. So they're in a desert place, there's no food, it's getting late in the day, and the people are hungry. So this is very much a temporal problem. This is an everyday problem. You know, we all know about them, don't we? Every one of us know what it's like in our everyday lives, in our lives as we walk in our own daily living. We know what it's like to face everyday problems. Those problems which are maybe peculiar to us, but here's an everyday problem. You know, some people think, and I know this from experience, some people think that the Lord's only here to deal with spiritual problems. You know, I had a situation not so very long ago, and I'm a firm believer that whenever you're saved and born again, that the Lord is in control of all of your life. And no matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, well, we can bring it to the Lord and he'll give us guidance. You know, my wife, we were away and we had a particular issue and we were praying about it. And my wife had been praying about it. And we were talking to another Christian fella, and whenever she told him that she had been praying about this issue, he looked at her. And in such a way, why would you pray about that? But you know, men and women, boys and girls, and I'm speaking very much so tonight to the boys and girls, because this is their special meeting. Everything in our lives, every issue, every problem, every decision, we can bring it to the Lord. We can bring it to the Lord. And here we have an everyday problem. The people were hungry. They needed food. You know, the disciples knew about this problem. You'll find that in all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of their writings. You'll find in John's writing here that the Lord actually goes and tells Philip about the problem. You know, in the midst of this crowd, we've got a major problem. The people are hungry. But you know, in the midst of this whole situation in John, and this is coming to the verse we're talking about, Andrew brings a young lad to the Lord. Here's this young lad. He's got his lunch with him, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And Andrew brings this young lad to the Lord. You know, what does the Lord do? He offers his lunch to the Lord, and the Lord takes his lunch. It says that he break it. He blessed what the young lad gave him. He break the bread. He divided it. He gave it to his disciples, and his disciples gave it to the people. And you know, you go down to the bottom, that verse 14, I think it is, 13 or 14, you'll find that all the people were fed, and they were filled. You see, Jesus, he solved the problem. You see, he's interested in the temporal problems as well as the spiritual problems. And you know, all the people were filled and there was 12 baskets of food left over. You know, it says in Matthew, Luke, and Mark that there were 5,000 people. In Matthew and Luke there were 5,000 men. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, it says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So, it's logical, or we could say that there could be many more here than the 5,000 men. Is not correct? if most men had brought their wives with them, and most wives and men had brought their children with them, well, there's potentially 10,000 people in this multitude. Many more than the 5,000. There's potentially maybe up to 10,000 people in this multitude. That's just a wee bit of the background or the setting of what's happening in this chapter. I want tonight, for a few short moments, to look at four characters in this story. And as it was the Vacation Bible School and the theme of school, these characters start with the letters A, B, C, and D. Now, I didn't mean that to happen, it just happened. A, B, C, and D. We've got Andrew, we've got the boy, we've got Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got the disciples. Those are the four characters, or the groups of characters, that I want us to consider very quickly. And I want us to try, and I want the Lord, I pray that the Lord will teach us some lessons, everyday lessons, both for children, for the parents in this meeting tonight, for those who work among the boys and girls, and for us band of people as a whole. I pray that God teaches us lessons from these four characters in this passage of God's Word. You know, I was never very good at English, so I'm going to start at D. Okay? I'm going to start at D. But what about the disciples? Well, who were the disciples? Well, we know the disciples were the closest followers of the Lord. You know, sometimes I think, what must it have been to be one of that 12? Out of every one that has been born into this world, there were 12 very privileged men. These men walked with Jesus every day. They saw him do miracles. They saw him heal the sick. They listened to him preach. The best preacher that you could have ever have listened to. They walked and they spent their day with him. They listened to him pray. Here was 12 men who were very, very privileged. They were the closest followers of the Lord Jesus. And as we've already seen in the introduction, these men in this situation knew there was a problem. You'll find that in Matthew 14. Let's just turn to it. We'll flick through these. Matthew 14 and 15. It says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him," that's the Lord Jesus saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." Here's the problems, didn't they say? They're in a desert place, it's getting late. "Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." You'll also see in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 35, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place. Now the time is far past." And you'll read a similar verse in Luke and in John. So the disciples were able to determine here that there was a problem. They knew there was a problem. You know, the Lord Jesus and John here, he actually says to Luke to prove him. It says here, "And when Jesus," verse 5, "And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now here's the disciples, and you know, here's the men who are the teachers and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I was thinking about these men, I was thinking about the workers and God's work. The workers among the children, the workers in the youth work, the Sunday school, and all the various workers. You know, as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do and read God's word, and listen to him speak to us through God's word, and seek to do what God wants us to do, well, we're just like the disciples. We are in a privileged place. You know, there's men, and there's women, and there's boys, and there's girls across this world who have not got this book, who do not know what it's like to be able to get down on their knees and bring their troubles to the Lord. And here we're just like the disciples. We're seeking to follow him, and we have problems in our works. We have problems in our lives, but what did the disciples do here? Well, you'll see the disciples brought it to the Lord. Because in all four Gospels, you'll read that the disciples discussed this problem with the Lord. We've read it there. They've came and they discussed the problem with the Lord. And you'll see in John that the Lord discussed the problem with the disciples. You know, so often whenever we have a problem in our lives, or maybe there's a problem in the work, we go to our friends, or we go to someone else, or our wives, or our husbands, or someone else, and maybe the Lord's the last one that we come and we discuss the problem with. Isn't that right? But here we find in these four passages that the disciples discussed the problem with the Lord. You know, if you look in John 6, verse 7, it says, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Do you know what this tells me? This problem couldn't be solved with money. This problem couldn't be solved with a temporal means. This needed a miracle to solve this problem. You see, 200 pennyworth couldn't have bought enough bread for these people. You see, men and women, boys and girls, the problems in our lives can't all be solved by money, by temporal means. We need to bring our problems to the Lord. We need to do what the disciples done, and we need to talk to God about our problems. Now, the disciples suggested sending the people away. But you know, so often whenever we bring our problems to the Lord, we may have the solution conjured up in our mind. And we may think we know how to solve the problem. And that's what the disciples were here. But if you look, what did the Lord say to them? Well, Matthew 14, verse 16, let's just turn to it, because this is important. It says, But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Here it is, give them to eat. Give them to eat. Mark 6, verse 37. And he answered, This is Jesus, and said unto them, Give them to eat. Luke 9, verse 13. And he said unto them, Give them to eat. You see, we need God to speak to us and guide us and show us and direct us exactly what he wants us to do. You know, this didn't make sense to the disciples, I'm sure, because they had nothing to give them to eat. So here we see sometimes whenever the Lord directs us, we don't understand what he's doing. But the Lord said very clearly to these disciples, Give them to eat. Now we know that the wee boy come and he had his 5 barley loaves and his 2 fish. You know, and we know that Jesus has taken these and Jesus has broken them and divided the food to the disciples, and then the disciples distribute the food. But look at Matthew 14, verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, whenever the Lord did this miracle and he got the wee boy's lunch, that he did some sort of a trick or a miracle or whatever, and he created a big pile of food. And the disciples came with all their baskets and they worked out of this food and they fed all the people. You could think that, but that's not what happened. Because look at this verse. The verse says that he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed it. He broke that and he gave the loaves to his disciples. So he split 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 12 basically, and he gave it to his disciples. So whenever he says to his disciples, go give them to eat, the disciples headed off with a 12th of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's where they headed off. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 41, and we'll see that again. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed, and he broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. He gave them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Mark 6, or Luke 9 and 16. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up unto heaven. He blessed them and broke them and gave to the disciples. So here the disciples have went in faith with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes at the command of God to feed approximately, potentially, 10,000 people. You know, as workers as those that are saved in this meeting tonight. And as we go in to a new season, as it were, in the work, we're going to face problems. We're going to face situations. They may be an everyday problem. But we workers and Sunday school teachers, youth workers, and the general congregation, we need to face those problems. Whether we think we have the solution to them, the disciples were going to send them away. We need to bring everything to the Lord. We need to ask him what to do. And you know, in the authority of this, he will give us an answer. He says, give them to eat. And you know, that answer may not be understood by you and I. And it may take faith to go and to carry out that instruction. But you see, whenever we obey, and whenever we do what God tells us to do, and take our own wisdom, as it were, out of the scenario, well then, the Lord will bless his work. That's the disciples. What about Andrew? And we need to move on here quickly. What about Andrew? Well, we come to this verse. Andrew's only mentioned, actually, in John. And the lad, as we'll see, or the boy in a minute, he's also only mentioned in John. But as this verse 9 of John 6, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Here we have this scene, potentially 10,000 people, they're all hungry. They're in a desert place. There's no food. And in the middle of it all, Andrew sees a wee boy. Andrew sees a wee boy. You know, that struck me. Because do you know what? There was so much that Andrew could have got his eyes on. He could have seen, he would have seen the multitude. He could have seen everything around him. But Andrew seen a wee boy. Do you know what that says to me? Andrew had a vision for boys and girls. Andrew was able to see the wee boy among the 10,000 multitude. Andrew had a vision for boys and girls. Workers, parents, Sunday school teachers, youth workers, have we got a vision for boys and girls? In the middle of it all, in the middle of the busyness of our lives, in the middle of our church work, can we see the boys and girls? Andrew saw the wee lad in the middle of the multitude. He was able to pick him out. I'm not sure if he knew him. I'm not sure if the lad knew Andrew. It doesn't say. But you know, Andrew focused, homed in on the wee boy. You know, not only did he focus on the boy, he focused on what the boy had to offer. Because here the wee boy is selling his lunch, isn't he? He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And most of us would have thought to ourselves, they wouldn't even have noticed it, because there's 10,000 of a multitude potentially here to feed. But Andrew saw what the boy had. He saw the potential of what those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes would be in the hand of the Saviour. Yes, they may not be much to the human eye. They may not be much from what Andrew was looking at or from the rest of the disciples. But we know in the hand of the Saviour, it was mightily used. And Andrew not only saw the wee boy, but Andrew saw the potential of what the wee boy had. You know, humanly speaking, it was small, but it was important to Andrew. And what did Andrew do? Well, what we should be doing as workers, as parents, he brought him to the Lord. That's what he did. He didn't try and do anything himself. He simply introduced him to the Savior. And there's our work in a nutshell. Our work is to introduce boys and girls to the Savior. That's it. And we know that whenever we bring and introduce a boy or a girl to the Lord Jesus Christ, well then, he will take that life and he will do a miracle. And he will take what seemed so insignificant to us and he and his hands will do a miracle, maybe among the multitudes of this world. You know, it is our job as workers to introduce boys and girls to the Saviour. You know, it's interesting, and I'll just leave this fact with you, that it's only John that mentions the wee boy. It's only John that mentions the wee boy. You know, in our lives and in our congregations, and I'm not saying it's like this here because I know it's not, but it's very easy to look at the older people and the whole men and the congregation as a whole and forget about the boys and girls. It's only one of the writers mentions a wee boy. Matthew is the only one that said that there was women and children there that day. You know, I have a wee thought here. This wee boy was in this gathering. He was under the influence or under the preaching of the Lord Jesus. But is it too much to think that his parents brought him there that day? You know, the salvation and the working of the Lord in the boys and girls' hearts in this area, in this congregation, is not only the responsibility of the children's worker or of the minister or of the workers in this congregation. It's the responsibility of the parents. And you know, parents in this congregation, I don't think it's stretching the imagination too much. It said in Matthew that there was women and children. There was 5,000 men and women and children. It's not stretching the imagination that maybe a mum or a dad brought their wee boy that day to that meeting. Brought their child in under the influence of the gospel. Brought their loved one or their wee boy to see the Lord Jesus. You see, the work that was done in this wee boy's life that day was a result of a group of people. There was the parents. I believe that it's very important for parents to send their children to the meetings in this church that has been organized for them. Children's meetings, Sunday school, youth meetings, Vacation Bible School. And I thank the Lord and Makarah for parents that send their children every Wednesday night to the meeting. You know, I do not take it lightly. Especially in this age or in these times. Whenever I was growing up, I used to jump on the bus in the housing estate and I never told anybody where I was going. I didn't have to sign any forms. I didn't have to do anything. Not that my mum and dad didn't care where I was at, but they didn't come looking about me. I just went to the meeting. And I come back, got off the bus and went and played again. That doesn't happen today. Doesn't happen today. And I don't take it lightly. Parents, especially parents, not involved or doesn't come to this church, parents that send their children every Wednesday night, they get on that bus, they sign the consent forms, and they send their children to our meeting. And that's the same here on a Wednesday night in Macrafelt. And I thank God for parents who send their children and who allow their children to come to our meeting. You see, in this situation, not only did Andrew see the wee child, and not only was Andrew used to bring that wee child to the Lord, but the parents brought the child to the gathering. What about the boy? Again, the boy is only mentioned in John. But as we've already touched upon it, this wee boy gave everything to the Lord. Everything he had. We've already went through the verses. You'll see that the Lord, and you follow it yourselves through all the Gospels, the Lord took 5 loaves and 2 fish. The boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't read that the Lord took 4 loaves and 1 fish. He took everything. So the boy, the wee boy, handed everything he had to the Lord. Everything. Now, that speaks to me about faith. That tells me about faith. Do you know why? I'm sure this wee boy was hungry as well. If the rest of them were hungry, he was hungry. And I'm sure this wee boy could have been doing with his lunch. But you know what? He kept nothing back. And he forsakes all that he has. And he gives it all to the Lord. And that's exactly what needs to happen in the lives of not only the boys and girls, but the lives of anyone in this meeting, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. The Lord just doesn't want part of your life. He wants all of it. Boys and girls, it's my prayer that the boys and girls of our church and of our meetings and of this district, they give everything to the Lord. This wee boy gave it all. He held nothing back. And you know what? Jesus accepted it all. Jesus didn't say, no, shall you keep so many loaves or you keep so many fishes? No, you read it. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and he blessed it and he distributed it to the disciples. He didn't say no, he took it all. And you know, boys and girls and growing ups, you give your life to the Lord and he'll take it and he'll use it. You come to the Lord with a burden on your heart, with sin in your life, maybe a wrecked life, the Lord will not turn you away. He will take it. And you know what happened? This wee boy didn't lose out because he gave everything to the Lord. Because, well, let's just look it up. Let's go through them again. Matthew 14 and 20. And they did all eat. Now, that doesn't mean some of them. The multitude all ate. The disciples ate. And the wee boy ate. They all ate. Mark 6 and 42. And they did all eat and were filled. We can go right through them. Luke 9 and 17. And they did eat and were filled. John 6 and 12. And when they were filled. You know, I don't believe it's, you know, there's many things that some of the writers deal with and some of them don't. But here's one thing. They were all filled and they all ate. And you boys and girls and you growing ups, whenever we give it to the Lord, you will not lose out. You will not lose out. Here's a wee boy. He was most likely hungry like the rest. He gave everything to the Lord. And yet he was filled. You know, I have a note here. Because a wee boy gave everything to the Lord, a multitude were blessed. Isn't that sobering? Because a wee boy gave everything he had to the Lord, a multitude were blessed. There are many great men and women of God who surrendered their lives to the Lord while they were just young girls and boys. And God used their lives to bless multitudes. We could go through many names in the history books. Great men of God who were used both in the mission field and the pulpits, and they saw thousands upon thousands saved. And there were just a wee boy or a wee girl who gave everything to the Lord. You know, men and women, boys and girls, the potential sitting in front of me tonight is staggering. If every one of these boys and girls and everyone in this meeting gave everything they have, their lives, to the Lord Jesus, just think what the Lord could do in this area, in this land. We're coming to the last character, the most important character in the story, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the main, he's the central character in the passage. And in this situation, in this problem, we find that the Lord's in the midst, and he makes the difference in the midst of any situation that will come our way. it was the Lord Jesus Christ in this situation where we had a multitude of people who was in a desert place, they were hungry, it was getting late. It was the fact the Lord was in the midst of them that made the difference. And you know, young people, and everyone in this meeting tonight, no matter what situation we face in our lives, if the Lord's in the midst, he'll make the difference. I'm going to rush on. The multitude were hungry, and he met their need. You'll find that when you turn it up, Matthew 14 and 20, Mark 6 and 42, Luke 9 and 17, John 6, verse 12, you'll find that Jesus met their need. I found this an interesting one. When they were in a desert place, yet Jesus told them to sit down in the grass. Let's look at it. Matthew 14 and 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Mark 6 and 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now they're in a desert place here. John 6 and 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much green grass. Now we've got grass. We've got green grass. And now we've much green grass in the middle of the desert place. See the difference the Lord makes whenever he's in the middle of the situation? It reminds me of Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, no matter what situation comes across our lives, no matter what we're going to face, whenever the Lord's in the midst, he makes a difference. He made the difference here. They were all filled. He fed them. He met their need. But you know what? He let them sit in the green pastures in the middle of the desert place. They sat on the green grass. You know, the Lord could have met the need here without involving anyone. He could have did this miracle without Andrew. He could have did the miracle without the disciples, without the boy, without the parents. But he didn't. Because he ordains to use you and me in his work. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to do his work. But he's pleased to use you and me. He used parents. He used a children's worker or someone who had vision for children. He used Andrew. He used the disciples. He used a wee boy who brought everything to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That he's pleased to use you and me in his work. You know, we shouldn't take that lightly. We shouldn't take that lightly. We're not set in a corner once we get saved and told to sit there until it's time for us to go. Sure we're not. We have the opportunity and the privilege to work in his field. We have the opportunity and the privilege, every one of us, to do his work. And he is pleased to use us. I find that wonderful. You see, he doesn't need us. He didn't need them that day, but he was pleased to use them. And you know what? Even in John, he says he did it to prove Philip. You know, in the Vacation Bible School, I really need to rush on. The Vacation Bible School, we've been dealing in the assemblies with big words. Because there's so many times our children hear big words that we don't know what they mean half the time. Things like salvation, justification, sanctification, all those big words. The last week we looked at sanctification. Now there's so many words we could use for sanctification, but whenever I was studying it, I simply wrote on the overhead, becoming more like Jesus. Isn't that what it is? Becoming more like Jesus. And that's the way, that's why he uses you, and that's why he uses me. Because he wants us to become more like him. He wants us to go through the situations. He wants us to need him, to pray, to ask him for his help. And know what that's doing? That's molding us, that's changing us, and that's making us more like him. You know, their lives, there was a lot of lives changed that day. The boy's life was changed. There was a lot of lives, I'm sure, a lot of people as they looked on. Well, here's a situation I'm sure they never forgot to the day they died. There's a lot of lives changed. Conclusion. There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? In our service this morning, Reverend McRae made reference to the past or the start of this church, and to Dr. Paisley and to the godly men that he used and started this Free Presbyterian Church. But he went on to say, yes, the time is flowing by, but what about the next generation? I'm now in the children's work 20 years. 20 years. That's why I asked for that hymn to be sung tonight, because that's one of the verses in that hymn that the Lord spoke to me through, verse 4. If among the older people you may not be apt to teach, feed my lambs, said Christ our shepherd, place the food within their reach. That 20 years has gone like that. And you know what? The next 20 is going to do the same. Isn't that right? Who's going to stand in this pulpit in 20 years' time? Who's going to lead the work in Macara in 20 years' time, or in Macrafelt, or in Sunday school, or wherever? There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Parents, is it your desire that your child meets the Lord? Are you bringing and sending them to the meetings? Those that work among the children and the youth in this congregation, have we got a vision for the children in this area? Do we see the potential in their lives and what God can do through them? Have we given our lives to the Lord? Even those that are saved tonight, have we given everything? Or are we holding anything back? Have we given everything to the Lord? Children, have you given your life to the Lord? The wee boy gave all of his lunch. Have you given your life to the Lord? There is a lad here. We have boys and girls in this area. They have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. They have a life to be lived. A life that could be taken by the Lord Jesus and changed and used to bless multitudes. I'll just close with a verse again. There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as we're bowed in prayer tonight, let us remember that for each and every one of us in this service, whether the smallest child or the oldest person, only one life and will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Barkyle asked the question, who will stand here in the next generation? There's a lad here. Mother and father that have brought their children to this vacation Bible school, Will you do what the wee lad did? Will you do what Hannah did? Will you hand your child to Jesus? And pray that God would take your child and use them for his glory. Maybe there's someone saying tonight, what can I give to Jesus? I'll tell you what he wants. This is what the Word of God says. Young man, give me your heart. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Trust him not only to save you, but then trust him to use you. Only one life. Before we pray, if there's someone who would like to speak, or Brother Kyle, or to Brother McKee, or myself, concerning eternal things, please don't go away whilst others are going to have their food. Come and speak to us about the Saviour. May the Lord save you. Heavenly Father, as we go to the complex, bless the food to our bodies. But bless thy word this night to our hearts. O God, touch the hearts of moms and dads, boys and girls. Save them. And then use them for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask the boys and girls to make their way across to the complex. But if there's someone here tonight and you'd like to speak to our brother, Kyle, I know our brother would be delighted to speak to you about eternal things. Don't go away. Give your heart to Christ. That's number one. May God bless you.